Good day and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference with ESB on System Z. Selection guidelines for WebSphere Message Broker, WebSphere ESB, and DataPower X150. Today's teleconference will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, we explore some criteria to consider when evaluating an ESB, as well as reasons for deploying your ESB on System Z. The speakers for today's teleconference are Mark Verplatzi, Product Manager, IBM, WebSphere Message Broker, Christopher J. Vavra, Product Manager, WebSphere ESB, and Gary Singh, Product Manager, SOA Appliances. And now I'd like to hand it over to our speaker, Chris Vavra. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So welcome, everyone, today. We're going to spend some time reviewing the ESB product portfolio provided by IBM and highlight the specific capabilities and features for augmenting and exploiting System Z environments and go into some detail with respect to which ESB would be most appropriate for you when you're working in a System Z environment. I'm Chris Vavra. I'm product manager of the WebSphere ESB product. And I'll be taking you through an introduction as well as information about WebSphere ESB. And I have with me Mark Verplatzi, Product Manager of WebSphere Message Broker, and Gary Singh, Product Manager of the WebSphere DataPower SOA Appliances, who will each in turn be going over the Message Broker and DataPower products. So moving to Chart 2. First, I want to do a quick review of why an ESB within the context of SOA in a service-oriented architecture, and why IBM, why we're really differentiated in this market space to deliver first-class capabilities with respect to Enterprise Service Bus, in particular in System Z environments. I'll take you through the WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus product, provide a brief introduction. Mark will provide an introduction of the Message Broker product, and then Gary will provide an introduction of the Data Power Integration Appliance XI50, and we'll follow up with question and answer. So moving to Chart 3, if we take a look at SOA, there really has been an evolution over the past several years with respect to how clients have been solving the connectivity challenge. In the beginning, direct connections and patches were written directly between applications using network protocols and burying connectivity logic and connections directly into the participating applications. So if you had application A and B, they had to know specifically how to connect to, transform, route, and maintain reliable connections with other applications. And this really wasn't sustainable as businesses began to introduce additional enterprise applications to provide first-class capability in a specific functional domain, such as an ERP system or front office system or an e-business application, and integration really started to take hold as a problem domain. As that evolved, message queuing was introduced really to help provide first-class enterprise backbone layer between applications to provide some abstraction where the connectivity logic of how to actually reliably deliver messages between applications was taken out and put into middleware infrastructure. And as that evolved into the late 90s, message brokering and enterprise application integration was introduced to provide integration capabilities in a brokered orientation to be able to take more of the processing logic, such as transformation and routing, and specific function around interfacing with the application into the broker. And then service orientation, which has really been taking hold for the last several years in a service-oriented architecture, has evolved connectivity to really try to push more and more of this logic into the integration middleware and out of the endpoint applications, where applications are really being put together as functional services, decomposed into large-grain services, which can be reused and composed in new solutions and applications rapidly and with agility. And the connectivity challenge evolves with that, really to provide better support for standards and to be able to provide additional flexibility and capability. So on Chart 4, we take a look at this. SOA on its own helps by simplifying interfaces for integration. So rather than, as we spoke before, having the interfaces built directly within the applications, we're really able to provide more standard interfaces, large-grained interfaces that are better understood by different applications using standards and reducing the technical complexity. However, you still end up with the requirement of each application having to know what service to connect to, where it is, how to connect to it, and what it means and how to interpret it, which really becomes a challenge in delivering agility and flexibility. On Chart 5, We see what the value an ESB provides. The Enterprise Service Bus really provides a virtualization layer for these services and really helps to bridge the differences between them and can also provide first-class connectivity with the endpoints where they may not have standard interfaces. So it really provides a value-add service as an intermediary to provide the agility and flexibility you need as you change your services. So chart 6, what is the Enterprise Service Bus? The Enterprise Service Bus is integration middleware that provides flexible connectivity for integrating applications and services. So the ESB provides several different functions at a high level, matching and routing communication between services. So a requester and provider of a service, say creating an order, don't have to know where each other is and which application is providing it, simply that they need the service and simply that they provide the service, and the ESB routes that. Converting between different transport protocols. One service may be using SOAP over HTTP, say used with standard web services. Another may be using WebS for MQ, and the ESB can actually provide that converting between the transports. Transformation. The Enterprise Service Bus can transform between syntactic differences between the different applications. So if the service request may be coming in with XML, in the back end it may be processed as a COBOL copybook transaction within context of KIX, the Enterprise Service Bus can help provide that type of transformation. And it identifies and distributes business events. The Enterprise Service Bus is event-driven and can really handle the mediating of synchronous requests, but also the capturing and publishing of any sort of event that may happen within an application. So, for example, if you have a KIX transaction that kicks off, you may want to be able to capture certain data from that and enable that to trigger a series of service invocations or publish a message or a set of information to other applications. So that, at a high level, is what an Enterprise Service Bus provides. Now let's take a look at what IBM delivers. If we look at Chart 7, IBM delivers a smart SOA approach to integration. We provide basic to advanced capabilities with simplicity and robustness throughout. So really, no matter whether you're delivering a foundational pilot project or an initial department project, or whether you're looking to enable your enterprise and functions to adapt dynamically, in all cases, we deliver solutions that can deliver simplicity for enabling that solution and robustness, providing first-class qualities of service, whether it's a minor deployment or a major deployment, and whether you're trying to achieve initial project implementations or broad project implementations. And what we see from the Smart SOA approach is that many of our clients are adopting SOA in this incremental sort of fashion. If we look of those adopting SOA, approximately 60% at this stage, based on our latest survey results, are in the foundational stage. Another 30% are progressing toward extending this solution end-to-end, and the remaining 10% split across transform and adapt dynamically. But what we see consistently across both large enterprises and mid-sized enterprises is that the adoption of SOA is ubiquitous and is steadily increasing. Our survey results, dramatic increase in SOA adoption and consideration for implementing SOA middleware over the last 3 years. Moving to Chart 8, we get into some additional reasons why you would look at IBM as your provider for an Enterprise Service Bus. So first, IBM really provides leadership in enterprise scale and quality of service. When you implement an Enterprise Service Bus, really what you're doing is taking the business and turning it on its side, taking each of those siloed functions that are on any given, say, floor in the building, and turning it on its side so that those transactions and information can flow seamlessly between the departments. And when you try to do that, the reality is you can't rely on a single piece of middleware infrastructure to simply run one application. You need to be able to bridge across those, and to deliver first-class implementations, you need capabilities that can deliver, and that's where IBM really excels. We have several cases where we've had to implement lots of different specific deployments that have very high transaction volumes, very low transaction response times required, and the ability to enable both steady throughput and high peak requirements, and we've listed several of these that we've implemented with our customers at the bottom of this chart. Moving to Chart 9, what we see is delivering process integrity and its associated interaction integrity and transaction integrity extends beyond simply scale and performance. The reality is an ESB is a service intermediary, can provide value add from the standpoint of quality of service to a service interaction. So here are some examples where IBM's enterprise service buses provide this additional level of quality of service. One may be in service virtualization and pooling. You may have multiple services providing, say, order processing, and you could have a requester be able to be routed to the most performant service, and we can provide that routing capability and give you the horizontal scaling that you need and quality of service. Service prioritization really helps to allocate processing to the most critical transactions and users. So whether a given back-end system needs to be given certain priority and that intermediary service needs to be given additional system resources, or whether a requester coming in is considered a gold customer, for example, or a high-priority transaction, that could be given additional resources for processing. Service throttling is an attractive option when you have a back-end system that can only handle so much peak load at a given time. And rather than hit it directly with service requests, by going through the ESB, it can throttle back to a certain peak rate and pick up as the load goes down on the back-end system. Event sequencing is an innovative capability whereby you may have asynchronous processing, say the creation of an order, followed by a couple updates of an order. And what you want to effectively be able to do is scale horizontally by multi-threading all of your order processing. But when you have order 1, 2, 3 pass through the system and it's updated multiple times, you want those updates to pass through in order that they were created. And what we are able to provide is a certain locking mechanism to enable that. Service retry and failover capabilities give us the ability where multiple providers are able to fulfill a request. We can actually fail over between services if one happens to be unavailable, so that the requester, say you clicking submit from your web browser, don't get a system unavailable response, but instead the ESB as an intermediary goes and checks other available services before responding. And then service level agreement optimization and enforcement. This is really identifying many of these quality of service capabilities that we've highlighted above, but applying service levels to them and then having the system enable itself to optimize to deliver on this level of service. So moving to chart 10, another reason why we consistently see clients pick IBM for their enterprise service bus implementations is because we can connect to their enterprise applications. So if you're looking at your specific mainframe applications, whether you have Kix or DB2, which many do, but also, say, Adabase or Datacom, we can connect to all of those through both the native capabilities that we provide within our applications and complementary offerings such as mainframe connectivity we provide, enterprise adapters for ERP systems, for example, and additional web services standard support to be able to bridge between those applications that you have today and those new ones that you're developing or that your partners are working with that want to interact with those applications. So we can connect to a very broad set of different integration endpoints and also provide an extensive depth of capability to integrate first class with each of those. And that's a key reason why many pick IBM for their ESB implementation. On chart 11, we can see the SOA reference architecture and where the enterprise service bus fits within the context of that. We've had this reference architecture in place for many years now, and it stood the test of time to represent the different capabilities that our clients implement within their SOA. And as you see, the enterprise service bus really provides the connectivity to enable those different business services to interact with one another and to be able to deliver messages across the SOA environment. Moving to chart 12, we have the ESB offerings that we provide from IBM WebSphere, WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, the WebSphere Message Broker, and the WebSphere Data Power Integration Appliance. WebSphere ESB is built on the WebSphere Application Server platform and provides an integrated platform optimized for integrating between different applications, and in particular, integrating applications that may be hosted within the WebSphere Application Server environment and external services. The WebSphere Message Broker is built for extensive universal connectivity and transformation in heterogeneous IT environments and provides first-class capability for handling many different types of integration endpoints to work in different types of IT environments and provides first-class integration with the WebSphere MQ messaging backbone. The WebSphere Data Power Integration Appliance XI50 is a purpose-built hardware ESB that really provides simplified deployment and hardened security and hardware acceleration, which is really uniquely positioned in cases where you need first-class security capabilities and drop-in configurability. So let's spend some time and look at each one of these products in turn. First, I'm going to review the WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus. So moving to chart 13, WebSphere ESB, as I mentioned, is built on the WebSphere application server and really delivers an integrated SOA platform. It integrates seamlessly with the WebSphere platform and delivers the qualities of service that WebSphere application server network deployment provides. So, for example, the horizontal clustering, the high availability clustering, and failover, and the performance provided by that Java platform are all provided by WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus. Also, WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus can easily be extended to WebSphere process server solutions if you want to move up the stack to business process management, because the WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus technology is embedded and included within the WebSphere process server product. So that provides a seamless transition, and WebSphere ESB provides the ESB function within WebSphere process server. The other very attractive capability of WebSphere ESB is really having an integrated solution, a single runtime environment from the standpoint of standard applications that may be built on Java Enterprise and being able to reuse the skills between those developers for WAS and those for WebSphere ESB, as well as the operational skills that you may have in-house for actually configuring servers, setting up systems, and setting up deployment environments and maintaining and operating those. The WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus provides ESB capabilities built on the exact same infrastructure with this exact same operating environment. So this is really attractive, especially in cases where you need to provide ESB function that works in conjunction with the services you're hosting within a WebSphere environment. So maybe you built an application on a WebSphere, or you have a third-party application hosted on WebSphere, or you have a BPM solution built on Process Server. In all of those cases, WebSphere ESB provides a great seamless and integrated delivery for ESB function within that platform, integrating between those services and with external applications to be able to provide the horizontal agility that the business requires. So in general, you would want to consider WebSphere ESB if you have WebSphere application server skills, though certainly we have cases where Java Enterprise platform and standards-based platform is the recommended approach for a given client, and they've adopted WebSphere ESB as well. But many of our clients do have WebSphere application server skills. If they are looking to move to Process Server or implement BPM solutions in the near future and want to first enter their SOA implementation with connectivity, WebSphere ESB is a great fit in those cases. As I mentioned, in cases where customers focused on a standards-based platform, leveraging Java Enterprise first-class Java capability and the web services support delivered by the WebSphere Application Server platform, it's an attractive option. And in cases, Excel is frequently where customers are focused on those standards types of protocols, web services, JMS, MQ, and integrating with applications through WebSphere adapters. And as I mentioned, WebSphere ESB is really attractive when you want to deploy in a single runtime environment. You have maybe both business applications and ESB applications, and you want to be able to deploy them into a single environment. WebSphere ESB provides that capability. So chart 14 provides a view of the capability and packaging across our product family as it relates to the WebSphere application server platform. So WebSphere ESB is shown here at its core delivers WebSphere application server as part of the product. And above and beyond that, the clustering capability delivered by WebSphere application server ND is also delivered as part of the WebSphere ESB product. And the WebSphere ESB adds on top of that a programming model for service intermediaries delivered by an enterprise service bus, such as the mediation function and the integration function. And as we'd stated before, WebSphere ESB provides the foundation for WebSphere process server business process management solutions, and as we see here, it's delivered as a core capability within process server. Moving to chart 15, we see many of the capabilities of WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus and the different functions that it provides. The WebSphere ESB server, as we said, is built on WebSphere Application Server and runs on most of the operating systems and platforms that WAS provides. The development tooling for WebSphere ESB on the left is our product WebSphere Integration Developer. That's one integrated development environment used for both WebSphere ESB and for WebSphere Process Server, and it's delivered on the Eclipse platform and leverages many of the capabilities found in the Rational Application Developer product. On the right side, the administrative capabilities of the product are delivered within the WebSphere Administration Console, common console used with WebSphere Application Server, with extensions built into the console to enable the deployment and management of Enterprise Service Bus applications. Up on the surrounding, up on the right corner, left corner, and bottom left, we see the different levels of connectivity that are provided by the WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus. In the upper right, the adapters that deliver technology connectivity, such as files and database access, the enterprise applications, such as SAP and Oracle, messaging integration in the upper left, including JMS providers, WebSphere MQ, and certainly HTTP, for example, integrating with AJAX or RESTful applications. In the bottom left, web services support, a comprehensive set of capability delivered by WebSphere Application Server and exploited in WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus. And then additionally, in addition to the Java Enterprise platform, WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus delivers forward-looking capabilities in SOA programming models in the form of service component architecture, which is a component model for SOA applications. And WebSphere ESB is actually built upon that foundation in terms of how ESB applications are developed and built. So moving to chart 16, some capabilities in WebSphere ESB that are uniquely beneficial on the SystemZ platform, and in particular ZOS. WebSphere ESB is enabled both on Linux on SystemZ as well as on ZOS. And on ZOS, WebSphere ESB takes on all the capabilities that WebSphere Application Server for ZOS does, including clustering support and fault tolerance and scalability provided by the platform. And because WebSphere ESB is purely a Java application, it provides offload of the Java processing to ZAP processors to help reduce the burden to the SystemZ environment and reduce MIPS utilization. And then WebSphere ESB provides lots of native application integration capabilities on SystemZ, including native integration with WebSphere MQ. It can exploit WebSphere TX for complex transformation of messages. You can add the KIX transaction gateway on SystemZ to be able to integrate directly with KIX transactions within the context of ESB mediation. And similarly with IMS Connect, we can integrate through the IMS Connect Java connector. And then first-class integration with DB2 on ZOS and integration with the file system for integrating with, say, with some basic batch applications. Also through JDBC, the platform can integrate with the WebSphere Classic Federation Server for ZOS in our information management family, which provides integration with other third-party applications such as Adapace and Datacom and other data sources such as vSAM. And just as WAS provides the support, WebSphere ESB provides IBM ZOS security server integration and support. So moving to chart 17, in terms of what's new with WebSphere ESB, we had a release of WebSphere ESB version 6.1 in the fourth quarter of 2007 and some interim updates since then in the last couple of quarters. In the 2007 release, we added enhanced integration for WebSphere TX, some enhanced web services support, and AJAX and REST support, and we provided additional depth of capability for the mediation patterns required for integration. So we provided some additional splitting and aggregation patterns and some additional function to be able to handle additional integration interactions. We updated to the WAS 6.1 runtime and enhanced our integration with third-party JMS providers. And we had a strong focus on consumability and simplicity, productivity, in using and deploying solutions with WebSphere ESB 6.1 and provided significant strides in delivering that. Some of the latest developments, we've added support for some additional data formats, such as COBOL copybooks for integration with, say, KIX over MQ, support for delimited and fixed length CSV, for example, and support for JSON for AJAX applications. and we've added toleration support, which we'll be exploiting in a future release, of the WebSphere Application Server 6.1 Feature Pack for Web Services, which provides quite a bit of capability in the web services domain, including support for added toleration for the Web Services Application Server v6.1 Feature Pack for Web Services, which provides additional depth of capability within web service domain. Moving to Chart 18, one of our customers that we've worked with very closely with WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus on ZOS is Ball State University. They've implemented WebSphere ESB and have since added projects with WebSphere Process Server for BPM, and they had a significant challenge in being able to bridge between all of their different applications that contained student information, and they wanted to be able to provide a single view of students across the environment. And they had very significant success in providing consistency for that information in a very short time frame and have gained lots of confidence with the product and are continuing to roll out additional deployments this year. So with that, I'd like to conclude the review of WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus and pass it over to Mark Verplatzi, who will talk about WebSphere Message Broker. Mark?
Thanks, Chris. I'd like to spend just a few moments with you today, and we'll start on slide 19, and we'll talk about WebSphere Message Broker, particularly with its use as Enterprise Service Bus. WebSphere Message Broker is really built for a universal connectivity and universal transformation in largely heterogeneous IT environments. That means largely remote systems talking to host systems, business to business, and a lot of your customer infrastructures are able to connect. A wide variety and flexible solution that meets a wide range of requirements as well. Message Broker is uniquely optimized pretty much for any IT environment, both mainframe and distributed, and offers unique qualities of service and connectivity, particularly supports transactionality of all of your transactions. Some of the things that our customers are thinking about when they consider an ESB and they're considering WebSphere Message Broker, they really have a large heterogeneous infrastructure, and they have not only standards-based messaging, but they're using non-standard-based applications and messaging. They're using non-standard protocols and sometimes roll-your-own data formats. These type of applications and connections are easily defined within WebSphere Message Broker, and the unique data formats are easily presented in the mapping tool that allows you to map non-standard messages to standard messages, for instance. In addition to that, there's a wide variety of input and output nodes that have properties that are able to define, that you can define security requirements on those. For instance, if you were to talk to web services, you can use web services security to support that. And also, if you were to try to convert batch applications into service-oriented applications, it's very easy to use nodes like the file input and file output nodes to turn batch processing into online processing and map those batch individual records or fixed-length records to transactions. Many of our customers have a real wealth of knowledge in WebSphere MQ. WebSphere MQ provides, of course, assured delivery of messaging and is used by many of our customers as a messaging backbone, a secure messaging backbone, and a reliable messaging backbone. With those skills, they're able to build upon that and implement WebSphere Message Broker pretty easily. But I'm going to tell you that WebSphere MQ is not necessarily required as a messaging backbone in order to use Message Broker, which gives Message Broker its uniqueness. Many customers are moving from an enterprise application and integration environment to a services environment or business services environment, and they're adding new things and need to leverage the connectivity engine that they have invested in a Message Broker. But now they can continue to add web services using SOAP protocol And then they can use web services security to secure those down. They can also support attachments with SOAP messages. There are many types of mediations that are available in our messages and our message flows. Some of those can be pre-built, and we can add those into Message Broker so you can leverage those and simply map your native messages to some of these pre-built messages. And sometimes Message Broker really needs to provide the heavy lifting for some very extensive transformations, and Message Broker is uniquely suited for that as well. Well, let's move on to slide 20, and we'll talk about some of the protocols and applications that are supported by Message Broker. Message Broker supports many different protocols, including WebSphere messaging, WebSphere MQ EveryPlace, telemetry, real-time, and WebSphere MQ multicast. Very easy. But we also support FTP or file input nodes or file output nodes. Defining your own protocols using TCP/IP sockets. Email, for instance, you can receive email and act as on those messages, and a lot of our customers do that are using supply chain management. HTTP input and output nodes, obviously well suited for SOAP and for web services. Many of our customers want to connect to other types of application stacks, including TIBCO. All right? So there are nodes that allow us to connect to TIBCO EMS. And then, of course, with JMS messaging and web services and WebSphere application server, obviously we want to use any JMS that's available, and that includes JMSs that are not provided by IBM. Many of our customers are using the application hosting capabilities that are built into Message Broker now to support their SAP applications or to support Siebel and PeopleSoft. Those are very, very important, and Message Broker brings a unique quality of service and a transactionality to those particular applications that are using SAP and PeopleSoft. Additionally, for mainframe users, there's some unique capabilities to connect to KIX and to IMS. So let's talk about how easy it is to do this. And it's basically very easy. Moving on to slide 21, where we identify an input source, we identify an output source, and we identify anything that has to occur in the middle of it. Again, the import sources can be MQ messages, HTTP, SOAP inputs, file inputs, inputs from our adapters, email, TCP/IP, KIX IMS, a lot of different nodes that you can input from. Similarly, those nodes are also available for output. Now, that leaves the transformation function, and oftentimes the heavy lifting that we talked about earlier. And transformation can be defined in one of many different ways. You can use the internal mapping that's available with WebSphere Message Broker. You can use XSL style sheets to describe XML to XML transformations. You can write your own transformation capabilities, which may take in data from other sources in a compute node or even a Java compute node. And then for some pre-built mappings, we can extend the capabilities of the transformation within Message Broker by adding WTX mapping or WebSphere Transformation Exchange. So there are very rich mapping capabilities and transformation capabilities. And within that, if we move to slide 22, there are other capabilities that can be defined by actually looking at the content of the data of these messages, and then by understanding what the content of the message is, generate the proper routing for that. In addition to that, we can use the capabilities of the Webster Services repository to understand some of the routing capabilities for particular messages. Also, for security purposes, we can define security policies based on the input and output nodes and execute on those. So that's been a real busy year for Webster Message Broker, and in November of 2007, we announced the 6.1 release, and we've also announced some new capabilities that have become available this past spring, and you'll see us define new high-value type of capabilities and announce those to the public in short intervals. So on slide 23, a recap of what we did in November of 2007. And by the way, just to understate how well-received this particular release was, we now have, in less than 6 months' time from availability, we have about a dozen customers that are using Message Broker 6.1 as their main production system today. And that's very, very impressive from a new product introduction perspective. In fourth quarter 2007, we introduced, of course, the hosting of adapters for SAP, Siebel, and PeopleSoft. These adapters actually come directly with the product and are exposed as message flow endpoints, both input and output. You basically describe your messages based on the input and output nodes, and that is included in the toolkit that's available with Message Broker. Then you simply deploy the message flows, and you can use these adapters. When you use these adapters in a unit test environment, there is no additional licensing available for that. But when you deploy these into system test and production modes, the adapters will require a license. We've offered some new native support for very large file processing, and I'm talking multiple gigabytes of file sizes, very large files, where we can define file input nodes and define the transformations that are necessary to move those into essentially online transactions. The file input nodes can be native files, or they can be retrieved through file transfer protocol. In addition to that, there is a new SMTP node that allows you to retrieve email and act upon that as if it were a message or transaction by itself. New web services security, which allows us to describe policies on the endpoints and execute on those policies. As a matter of fact, there are some unique interactions with the Webster Data Power device, and Gary will probably expound on that a little bit later. So the two can actually share security policy information and execute on that. We provide enterprise-wide identity authentication and authorization through the use of the Tivoli Federated Identity Manager, as well as an LDAP directory. The nice thing about Tivoli Federated Identity Manager is that it also helps us to manage identities with certain connections that may be owned by Message Broker, but the services are requested by an outside user. So I can map those identities and use those and then provide the transactionality for those transactions. Out-of-the-box integration with Webster Services Registry and Repository, as well as the Data Power SOA appliance. I've mentioned that before, and it's been very, very well received by our user community. And then we are always and consistently maniacally focused on enhancement of consumability and productivity. So such that in Webster Message Broker 6.1, it only takes about 45 minutes to install the product and become operational. Previously, it took quite a bit longer to do that. So we're very happy and very pleased on that, and we're still seeking ways to improve that. In 2008, in April of this year, coincidentally with the Impact Conference, we introduced a couple of new offerings that allowed some of our users to get started with Message Broker at a much lower price point. So those are message broker for remote adapter deployment, which strictly hosts the WebSphere adapters, and then message broker starter edition, which is a full function, fully featured message broker, but at a reduced capacity, so it allows our customers to get started at a lower price point and grow as their needs grow. We've announced some new TCPI nodes, TCPIP nodes, some T-Log samples for retail customers, and then even more importantly, we've announced and made available CEI support to provide for event processing and even complex event processing to be consumable by WebSphere Business Monitor. So we're very, very excited with that. Moving on to slide 24, there's a lot of reasons to be using WebSphere Message Broker on ZOS, and here's just a few. Firstly, WebSphere Message Broker can take full advantage of all of the ZOS properties, including Sysplex, including shared queues that are available by using WebSphere MQ on ZOS, and it gives us a very high degree of high availability and scalability, and gives us very good load balancing across the ZOS system. So that's something that's very, very exciting and allows us to put even multiple copies of Message Broker across the Sysplex and to share that kind of information. Addition to that, ZOS gives us a lot of inherent features that belong to ZOS, such as RACF and workload management. It's very easy to install using SMP. We have lots of reporting capabilities that are available through SMF, including a sub-LPAR pricing feature that became available in June of 2008 that essentially gives you usage-based pricing for Message Broker. Application Restart Manager is another feature. WebSphere Message Broker on Z gives us some unique connectivity options, such as Kix request nodes and vSAM nodes. It gives us vSAM input and output nodes. So we find that using Message Broker on ZOS gives you a much more efficient of use of some of the interlaced features and applications that are located on ZOS. And as I mentioned before, running on ZOS and SystemZ platforms brings all the security and robustness of all the mainframe platforms. So that's something that's very exciting. Moving on to slide 25, while we have many, many customers that are using WebSphere Message Broker and many that are using it on ZOS, largely in the financial industry, one really pops out that I kind of wanted to tell you about, and that would be St. George's Bank. St. George's Bank was building applications and actually hardwiring these applications, building point-to-point solutions, and not taking advantage of the reusability of some of the modules and applications here. So they undertook a project to use Message Broker on ZOS and implement service-oriented architecture for a couple of reasons. One, that they can improve the time to market of their key applications and bring new products forward to their customers, but also to try to minimize some of the service time that is required to do that and minimize the time to market for bringing these products to bear. The return on investment for this particular customer was less than a year, okay, and the degree of reusability that they were able to achieve have saved them about $15 million. In addition to that, a side effect, and it's a very pleasant side effect that every customer should really experience, is customer satisfaction increase of 25%. So that is a very nice use of ESB on ZOS. Additionally, they have over 200 services defined. Almost half of those are able to be reused, and I think that's very, very impressive. So I'd like to turn this over to Gary Singh, who's a product manager for the WebSphere Data Power Appliance.
Thanks, Mark. So I guess we'll get started on chart 26. So the WebSphere Data Power Integration Appliance XI50 is also obviously one of the ESBs. One of the key things about these appliances that we attempted to do was really to redefine the boundaries of middleware. And by this, we meant instead of having your normal separation of, you know, hardware and software, could we take a bunch of core key functions and integrate them all into a single device, with the premise being that you get simplified deployment and easier ongoing management. Basically, plug the device in, configure it up, and get going. You know, when would you consider WebSphere Data Power? Obviously, ease of use is a key consideration here, and these are really configuration-driven devices. A strong affinity for, you know, XML to XML or, you know, SOAP to XML and or XML to any other format in terms of transformation. One of the key things in these appliances is its extensive support for security and acceleration of security processing. In the web services ESB world, you know, WS security, things like WS policy. The device also being XML-centric also has a number of advanced web services standards, so quickly we're able to go to market with those fairly quickly. The other thing that the appliance buys you in terms of XML processing, because parsing and transformation are very intensive operations, when you have high performance requirements, that may be a time where you consider bringing in Data Power. And the other key consideration really is time to market, right? So I've got to be in production very quickly. And this goes off well, being able to start customers off with an ESB and quickly expand into other products like WebSphere ESB or Message Broker. Moving on to chart 27, just quickly, why do we build these appliances? As I mentioned, you know, the hardened, specialized hardware for integrating, securing, and accelerating SOA, many key functions, core functions integrated into a single device. Some of the other areas that we look at, too, when you start getting into security, because these are hardware devices, we are going through common criteria evaluation as well as being able to do FIPS, you know, level 140-2, level 3, which is essentially hardware management of keys. We see this a lot in, you know, financial services, banking, and government. Because of the hardware acceleration, you can more quickly do security checks, including, you know, crypto validation, security credential processing, digital signatures. Depending on where you may be talking, if you happen to be talking to network operations folks or security operations people, the appliance is a nice segue into those conversations with these capabilities. And then finally, as I mentioned before, simplified deployment and ongoing management. And one of the key things here is people are sometimes scared to get started with SOA, and in this case, we're able to, you know, reduce the in-house need for SOA skills and quickly ramp up. On chart 28, what are the key capabilities of the XI50? So we do have, as do all the ESBs, an end-to-end transformation engine. One of the other key use cases is really content-based message routing, being able to inspect the payload of a message, make dynamic routing decisions, and at the same time, maybe even enrich the message as you pass it on to the back end. From a protocol perspective, the device does support a variety of protocols, HTTP, MQ, JMS, FTP, actually IMS Connect now as well. And in this case, we're able to bridge between those protocols, both in request reply, request response, or asynchronous way. Some of the key security things, an XML and SOAP firewall. So from an XML perspective, prevent, you know, normal XML threat attacks, which may include like jumbo payloads, recursive entity expansion attacks, et cetera. So you get that kind of for free just by putting the appliance in. And also being able to filter out based on things from a SOAP message, for example, going down to all the WSDL components and filtering out. From a data validation perspective, we're able to validate messages against both XML schema and directly against WSDLs with minimal performance impact. From a security perspective, not only do we, you know, sign and encrypt messages, but also high-performance field-level security, where you can actually go in and sign and encrypt specific elements, which becomes of interest in things like PCI compliance, SOX, and other things like that. From an access control perspective, the device has integration with a number of authentication and authorization systems, whether that be AML-based, LDAP-based, RADIUS-based, Tivoli-based, Active Directory, what have you. From a processing perspective, the device also has what we call multi-step, but which is essentially a flow editor, set of steps linked together in terms of how you process messages. One of the other use cases that we have as well, as you put these devices in front of your web services, since all traffic flows through them, we are able to touch upon things that Chris mentioned earlier in terms of service level management, service virtualization, and policy management, where we can do things like throttle traffic, capture statistics and metrics, and pump those out to other collection systems, such as ITCAM for SOA. And the final thing, as all the appliances in the appliance family, you know, as I mentioned again, time and time again, easy configuration and management. And in this case, you know, just a few points. The interfaces you use are a web GUI for configuration driven. For network folks, there's a command line interface. We have plugins to Eclipse for people who are used to that community as well, therefore able to address all the broad needs of people who may touch the device. Chart 29. kind of just gives you an example of all these interfaces of how you can quickly fit in. The configuration is capable from any of those interfaces, whether it's the web GUI, the command line interface, as you can see over there, or the Eclipse plugin. And from a management perspective, typically we're able to just drop right into these environments and plug into like an SNMP, Simple Network Monitoring Protocol network, to quickly and seamlessly integrate our log messages in with enterprise logging. And for those who need to do custom interfaces, there is a SOAP management interface as well, which allows us to plug into any management system you may have. Chart 30. So a couple of the use cases that we have really have been around data power and systems Z integration, you know, long before we were even part of IBM. One of the key use cases is the, we could call it legacy enablement or communication with IMS and or KIX-based applications. And what we've seen from this use case perspective is data power, while not on Z, off of Z as an appliance, will host on the front end a WSDL-based service. You know, those messages will then come in. We will extract the XML, convert that to a COBOL copybook, send that over MQ series over to MQ series on Z, and then hit an IMS or a KIX application and also get the response back. So really this has been one of the key things. Therefore, you're able to bridge and enable those IMS and KIX applications, do things like protocol mediation, you know, with, as I said, HTTP and SOAP, hit TIBCO, FTP, databases, what have you. So really this use case is a web services enablement and security for KIX and IMS applications. One thing I'll add about IMS is we have recently added, we'll get to that on the slide, but we don't necessarily have to use MQ anymore to speak with IMS. We do actually support IMS Connect directly from the data power device as well. I mean, it would be the same use case. On chart 31, we've also, just as we talked about being able to provide web services security, because both KIX and IMS, whether it's the IMS SOAP gateway or the KIX web services stack, we are able to front those as well from the appliance, providing things such as content-based message routing, again, protocol bridging, offloading all security processing, so all your SOAP and XML checks. This can be pretty important. You don't want to waste cycles on Z with bad XML or non-validated XML. From the field-level security and crypto, again, those things would be applicable just as they are on systems undistributed as well. The other thing that we've seen a lot of people wanting to know is how can they do a better job of monitoring the traffic to the host systems. And again, this is where web services management would come in from a service level management perspective, whether that just be collection of those metrics or actually adjusting and throttling and rate limiting traffic as it goes to Z. Chart 32, as we've talked about with all the appliances, in Q4 of 07, we released version 3.6.1. Some of the key highlights here were, again, in one of our core areas, which is integration and connectivity. We made a number of enhancements around MQ, some of them being performance-based, others being the capability to set and encode various MQ headers, like the MQCIH header, an MQIIH header, et cetera, which gives you that enhanced integration with Z. We did add support for reliable messaging. We also have a lot of play in terms of the governance and policy management space with our integration with WSRR, the WebSphere Service Registry and Repository, as well as standard UDDI v3 registries. We've made some major updates in terms of standards, including SOAP 1.2, WS Security 1.1 as well. From a governance perspective, there's an emerging standard, as Chris talked about, out there in terms of policy, really WS policy, WS Security policy, things like WS Reliable Messaging Policy, which you can use to attach and describe your services. So we've added the capability to be a runtime enforcement engine for those to the data power appliances. And again, it's a simple point and click and point out to a registry if you need to and get your policies. We also added validation of both messages and of your configuration to make sure that you may be in compliance with kind of the key check marks in the ESB for the WSI, a basic profile and basic security profile as well. And then one of the other things that we looked at doing in terms of ease of use, there are a number of different pipeline actions that people were looking to do, including fan out, some aggregation, looping, and some level of truly asynchronous processing on every action, which also allows you to do some level of parallel processing. So we've also added a number of core transaction processing steps to our flow editor as well. On chart 33, you know, this is a good use case, as I talked about before, being able to deploy the XI50 as a SOA security gateway and really, you know, message router and transformation engine in front of System Z. As you'll see in this case for the MIB group, one of their key use cases was they wanted to expose a CORD, a healthcare standard XML services to their customers, but on the back end, the applications are actually COBOL-driven KIX applications. So, again, this was a very classic use case for us. You know, have the web services security, XML security checks on the front end of the XI50 as an Accord standard message, transform that to a COBOL copybook, and then, you know, filter those messages out and then pass them on over MQ to System Z. From what were the customer benefits of this solution? The application actually turned out with the processing to be 10 times faster than the internally developed custom software, and they were quickly able to get up running with this as well. As you expose these systems out there, right, especially in healthcare, the fraud protection, you know, personal information identifiers become more key. So being able to have those processes run faster, be more secure, and actually be less error-prone in this case. And the web service enablement of these applications actually allowed them to offer more services to their customers, bringing on more clientele than having to come in through, you know, raw sockets or proprietary leased connections to their customers, and at the same time being able to reduce their overall overhead cost. So really that's where the Data Power Appliance fits in terms of Z. That's the most classic Z use case from Data Power as an ESB. Quickly summing up on chart 34, if you look at it, as Chris mentioned, we do have three ESB offerings from WebSphere. WebSphere ESB, again, key being built on the application server for an integrated server platform. The WebSphere Message Broker, universal connectivity and transformation in heterogeneous environments. And the WebSphere Data Power Integration Appliance, which, again, is a purpose-built hardware for that simplified deployment and hardened security. And the key here really is that each and every one of these ESB products is a first-class ESB in and of itself. And by listening to your customer requirements and looking at the vast capabilities we have across the portfolio, it should be fairly easy for a customer to identify which one or two of these products that they will identify for use as their ESB. Chart 35 just has a bunch of reference information on it. The Connectivity Reviewer's Guide is a new red paper that's out there. A quick sales leave behind, the ESB portfolio trifold. And then there's a series of other teleconferences that are happening in terms of SOA and Z and ESBs.
Well, I appreciate everyone joining us today, and that is all that we had. So if you have additional questions, obviously someone can follow up with you per the survey that was provided earlier. Otherwise, feel free to follow up with a sales representative, and they'll be more than happy to provide additional information for your specific requirements. Thanks.
And with that, we'll conclude today's conference. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today.